Hi there.
Hey.
These are number ones, the first exercises. If you hadn't picked yours up, they're there. Number twos we'll have at the end of class. Number threes are due a week from today. Right. This was a quick research project to see how many of you check your email every day. And if you didn't and you finished the exercise to hand in today, then you're ahead. So now you can pay attention today, and we'll explain exercise three and the hypotheses, and then you can revise yours and make it perfect. So, this is good. Okay. Before we start, are there... You want to welcome Julie back?
Okay, good.
Let us know when you're going to New York again so we can... prepare for a blizzard. Okay. Anything else? Questions or comments or? Yes. Yes. Today is devoted to exercise three. And everything you always wanted to know so that you could do exercise three. And we'll see if we can cover it all. Okay. Let's assume for the moment that you are real clear about the micro system. And as we talked about that over the last two classes, how the microsystem changes, the roles, relationships, and activities change their pattern. And because it's a system, all of those elements are connected within the microsystem so that a change in anyone's role or a change in who's in the setting or a change in the activities, a change in the relationship, any of those will affect the whole pattern. And what you did in exercise two, some of you, was try to describe the pattern. We'll be thinking about that now, but we're going to go on to the meso or mid-level system, which is the interrelations among two or more settings in which the developing person actively participates, such as for a child, the relations among homeschool and the neighborhood peer group, for an adult among family and work. There's a little bit of a misleading example here if you look at the peer group. The peer group is not a setting. Okay. So you have to be careful not to think about a microsystem being in a setting that isn't a setting. For example, your social life, as I said in the book, is not a setting. Your social life is an activity that occurs perhaps in several different settings. Just as the peer group isn't a setting, it's a set of relationships that may occur in a particular setting at a particular time. You have a peer group at school, you have in that setting, you have a peer group at Boys and Girls Club, you have a peer group in the neighborhood park or in the neighborhood itself, which might be a setting if you think about it that way. But your social life is not a setting. It's an activity. So you have to be careful when you think about a neighborhood peer group. You have to be careful about thinking about what the actual setting is. A bit later in his thinking, Bronfenbrenner elaborated the definition of the mesosystem to include the linkages and processes that take place between two or more settings that the developing person is actively involved in. School, home and school and workplace. Now, what this means is that when you're thinking about the developing person, you're thinking about a particular setting and the microsystem that happens there, and we'll call this setting one, and it has a microsystem in it, roles, relationships, and activities occurring in a particular pattern. The person also may be involved in another setting, we'll call it setting two, and that has a microsystem in it, roles, relationships, and activities that are happening in that setting. What Bronfenbrenner wants us to think about now is how are those two settings connected to each other? How do they relate to each other? So we'll look at, he's suggesting, the linkages and the processes, whatever those might be, that are going on between these two settings. And this is a subtle and very crucial point. The mesosystem is not these two settings. It's the linkages and processes going on between them. So you have to think at a different level rather than thinking about the mesosystem as a collection of settings. The mesosystem is actually what goes on between those settings, how those settings are connected. The whole ecosystem, and each of you has one, the whole ecosystem includes all of the settings that you're involved in and settings that you're not involved in. The mesosystem is the relationships and the linkages between the settings that you're actively participating in. So, to help make that perhaps clearer, there are probably also some settings that you don't participate in. Right? But they're important. Some of you have parents who work, but you never go into the setting where they work. That setting that you don't go into, there's no developing person or there's no you in that person, in that setting. Your parent might be there. That setting is in your ecosystem, but not your mesosystem. It may have linkages with the settings that you actually do engage in, which are in your mesosystem, but it's not part of your mesosystem. We will eventually call that an exosystem setting. Okay? A setting that affects you or that you're related to in some way, but you don't actively go there. It's in your ecosystem. It's an exosystem setting. It is not part of your mesosystem. In the mesosystem, you include only the settings that you actively participate in. So each of you has a mesosystem and just one. All of the settings that you actively participate in are settings in your mesosystem. The mesosystem is the relationships among those settings. You also have connections to other kinds of settings that you don't go into, and we'll talk about the connections next, because we ask the question, how can settings be connected? If we're going to talk about linkages and processes going on between settings, what kinds of linkages might there be? The primary link, the primary way that settings in your mesosystem are connected is you. You go back and forth among those settings. So you are the primary link. You are the direct link, one of the direct links between those settings. when you go from one setting to another, you are defining the settings as being in your mesosystem. And you can think about then how they're connected. And the primary way is through the primary link, which is you. So all the settings in your mesosystem are connected by you, as you go back and forth among them. If you don't go into them, they're not in your mesosystem. They may be in your ecosystem, but they're not mesosystem settings. I didn't make it up. There are other ways that settings can be directly linked. One way is by the primary link of you. Another direct link is somebody else. Who goes back and forth between those two settings? And that somebody else we're going to call a supplemental link. You can't see that because I'm writing very small, but what I just wrote was supplemental link. So settings are connected by the people who go back and forth between them. And as always, when we think about a particular ecosystem, we have to define it from the perspective of the individual that we're considering. So if we're considering you individually, then each of the settings in your mesosystem is directly linked by its primary link, which is you. But you may share those settings with another person. And that person would be a direct link if that person goes into both settings, and would be a supplemental link in your mesosystem. So if you're in this class with your roommate, any of you in here with your roommate? Okay. For each of them, their room and the class is directly linked in each of their mesosystems by each of them, and each of them is a supplemental link in the other person's mesosystem. And so the settings of this class and their room are doubly linked. Aha! You guys have a dyad? You are a dyad, right? I'm sorry, do you mind if I call you guys? Is that disrespectful? Would you rather the gals? Dolls? Was guys and dolls? No, I don't know what the other. Do you kind folks? You are a dyad, right? Yeah, okay. And it's an observational, it's probably primary dyad, do you think about each other? Yes? Okay. Friends? Okay. Good. And do you study together? Sometimes. That's a joint activity. Coming to class is actually a joint activity. Sitting together. Do you always sit together? I hadn't noticed, but I will from now on. You are also... So you are a dyad. We've established that. Each of you is a primary link between your room and the class. And each of you has the other as a supplemental link between those two settings, your room and the class. Your dyad occurs in two settings or contexts. So we call your dyad, in addition to being a primary dyad and probably a joint activity dyad, we call it a transcontextual dyad, because your dyad exists in two places. Okay. Your relationship exists wherever you are because it's primary, but you also have the characteristic of being a transcontextual dyad. I know it sounds perverted, but you are a transcontextual dyad, which means that you are in two different settings. So you do whatever you do in your room, and you're both here. So you're a transcontextual dyad. Do we have any other transcontextual dyads in the class? Mary Beth, do we have any other transcontextual dyads in the class? Okay, siblings in the class, do you ever occupy another setting at the same time?
Yes.
Where?
Field hockey.
Okay, so you go to the field hockey field, wherever it is, and occupy that setting. Okay, so we have a multiple transcontextual set of dyads interlocking here. Hang on to that notion because you may be close to creating a closed activity network. You already got that in the book, right? You already decided that. All right, you're a closed activity network. Good. And question?
Yeah, I was just wondering if you have somebody that, like you're using the example of a parent, goes to that exosystem setting and you don't go there, so in that sense they're not a supplemental link?
No. No. If the child is here and the parent is here, then this setting is linked to the child's mesosystem, but is not part of the child's mesosystem. But there is a connection, which is the parent. Presumably, if the parent is also in this setting, the parent is here, then the parent is the primary link between these two settings in the parent's mesosystem, but this setting isn't in the child's mesosystem. And the parent represents an indirect link between these two settings in the child's ecosystem. So this setting is not in the child's mesosystem, but it's still important, therefore it's in the child's ecosystem, and it is linked to, if this is home, it's linked indirectly for the child by the parent. So the parent provides an indirect or intermediate link. So if this setting is going to be involved in the child's ecosystem at all, somebody has to be going back and forth in some way that connects it for the child. No. Right. Good question. The question of involvement, the question that she asked is, do you have to go there every day? And the answer to that is no. How often do you have to go there for us to call you actively participating? If you go to mom's office once a year on Bring Your Daughter to Work Day and you hang out, it's probably not an active involvement. So it's probably not part of your mesosystem. If you go there every week on Friday afternoons because you get out of school early, and while you're there you engage in relationships with her coworkers, and maybe you take on some tasks as you get older, shredding paper, you know, whatever it is. And the people in that setting start to save things for you to do. They wait till you get there to distribute the mail, or they pile up their paper to be shredded because they know you love that. And it's a regular thing. Then it's probably a setting in your mesosystem. Where between a year and a week is the dividing line. There is no definition. The definition is that you are an active participant in that setting when you are there. And it's a judgment call, whether it's an exosystem setting or whether it's a mesosystem setting. But to call it a mesosystem setting, a setting in your mesosystem, you would have to be able to describe some degree of active participation in that setting. But it would be arguable. And we could have an argument about a discussion, friendly discussion about whether this one is in your mesosystem or not. If you'd never go in it, it's clearly not in your mesosystem. If you go in it so seldom that people don't recognize you when you're there, and you don't have any active participation, then I would say probably not. It's probably not in your mesosystem. So it's a judgment call. Absolutely. The comment is that a setting where you're not involved may have a very direct impact on the family and on the child. It clearly is a very important setting, but it's not in your mesosystem. It is an important setting in your ecosystem. Where your parents work may be very, very important in your setting because mom comes home from work frazzled or doesn't come home from work, and there you are on the doorstep without your key. That can have a pretty dramatic impact on your life. And that's why it's included in your ecosystem, and it is indirectly linked to the child. It can be extremely important, but it's an exosystem. That means outside. Outside the child's direct experience, but it may be very, very influential. So the definition of mesosystem doesn't exclude those settings the child isn't a part of, doesn't exclude them from the ecosystem. It just says they're different from ones that have that indirect influence. They can have even more. They can regularly have more than any particular setting you're in. They're very important to understand, very important to analyze, very important to look at what is the connection. And there are a number of hypotheses when we get to the exosystem. If you want to read ahead, that's okay. In the exosystem section in the book, Bronfenbrenner talks about and has hypotheses about how and what the characteristics are of those particular settings. And we'll elaborate on that. In restaurants and stores that you frequent regularly but don't really have relationships with. Yeah. If you recognize the hostess or the waitress, manager, same clerk waits on you. If you go there fairly regularly, whether or not you have relations with people there, if you go there regularly, it's a setting in your mesosystem. How influential it will be in your development may depend on the nature of the relations that you develop there or whether you do. But it's clearly part of your mesosystem if you are an active participant there as a customer. It's part of your ecosystem. It's part of your mesosystem, and you can describe its relation. Some of you have mesosystem settings such as the Gap. I have a mesosystem setting that I'm actively participating in tonight. I'm going out to dinner at one of my favorite restaurants and I consider that a setting in my mesosystem because I think about it. If I'm taking somebody to dinner, as I am tonight, I think about where will I be comfortable? Where do I recognize staff? Where is the food familiar and yummy for me? And I think about the settings that I might go into, ones that I frequent not often enough, because my wife loves to cook and doesn't like to eat out, so I have to take these social occasions when I have a visiting fire person and go out. And I think about the particular setting and its atmosphere, remember the physical setting, and I want particular activities to happen in that setting, and in this particular case, I need to have four people seated around a table who can hear each other and not be rushed and have everybody feel like they're really, really being happily entertained. So I want positive affect, and I want the staff to be positive. So I want the whole nine yards. And so I pick one of the places that I frequent often enough that I can call it part of my mesosystem. And I have knowledge of that setting. I've been there lots of time. I've been here a long time. I've watched these restaurants grow up. So I know its setting, and I deliberately choose on the basis of my experience in those particular settings and what I want to have happen. I would say the same thing about particular stores. I would say that the Hannaford's on Dorset Street is clearly part of my mesosystem. I know what they've got, I know where it is, I know where to park, and I'm there probably twice a week. So it's definitely a part of my mesosystem and a really important part of my mesosystem. Great question, because what I hear you doing is thinking, okay, how far can I push this? And that's what I want you to do. I want you all to be doing that. How far can I push these definitions till I get to the point where, okay, we get to the gray area. Is it once a month? Is it once a week? So thank you. They are three different settings. Yeah. Unless they happen in the same room, then you have a setting with a microsystem that shifts every 75 minutes or every hour and a half. That's an interesting setting to look at. And some of you are in settings where the pattern, the microsystem that takes place in that setting, has a clear pattern of roles, relationships, and activities that change dramatically. You know, the plants moved out. And my guess is, I don't know Mark well, and maybe some of you have had a course with him, I don't know how his pattern of relationships and his role in the classroom is different. But clearly the activities are a bit different than they are here. So we have a dramatic change in the pattern of the microsystem in this room when we switch classes. As you do perhaps at home when a parent comes in. Or some of you had parents who worked opposite shifts. So you had the microsystem with mom until dad came home and then mom went to work. And you can see the pattern changing. Okay. A nice question. Anne?
Oh, I was gonna
You're going to ask the same thing? Did you two talk before class? Yes. Okay. The difference between a primary link and the supplemental link. The primary link is the person whose participation defines the settings as being in the mesosystem. That's you. Okay. So you are the primary link in your mesosystem, and the person you are in a transcontextual dyad with is the supplemental link. Okay. So if you think about, Shirley, would you remind me again, I need to draw more diagrams so they don't have enough. I need to draw them so that I can project them. You might have in your mesosystem 1, 2, 3, 4, I can't count, 8 settings. They all have the same primary link. Why did I do this? You know what I'm trying to do. Okay. Every pair of settings is linked. And they all have the same primary link, which is you. Okay. So the primary link defines the mesosystem. Some of them might also have a supplemental link. We have the roommates in the back who are roommates, classmates, and you go shopping together? Yeah, they go shopping together. So room, class, shopping, but you're each involved in some things that the other person is not involved in, right? Okay, you don't sleep with each other's boyfriends. No, okay, all right, got it. So, stop. So some settings in the mesosystem have a supplemental link and others don't. It's the other people who form transcontextual dyads with you who define the supplemental links. But all of the settings in your mesosystem, by definition, have one primary link, and that's you. Okay, good, thank you for that one. All right, other links? A couple of little details I think we've actually covered, but a supplemental link is the other person who participates in two settings, and transcontextual dyad, the primary link and the supplemental link. And if you, I don't think we probably need to do this, but if you wanted to think about the supplemental links, and my diagrams need to have color. In fact, I'm going to assign you to draw these. So, see the look on her face. Yeah. Okay, we have settings 1, 2, and 3 are linked by person B. And then we have settings 3, 4, and 5 are linked by person C. In this case, person A is the primary link. B and C are supplemental links among some of the settings in A's mesosystem. And if you take B and C together, they create for A a first-order network of people who can overlap and connect the different settings in addition to person A whose mesosystem it is. So the network of people we're beginning to build up is a group of supplemental links, none of whom probably participates in every setting, but they overlap. There are people you might call your friends, and you do some things with the field hockey team, and you do some things with your classmates, and you do some things with the people you work with, and your various settings are connected by these people who serve as supplemental links in part of your system, part of your mesosystem. If you put them all together, they are your first-order network of transcontextual dyads. They may not participate together, but they are the people that you expect to run into regularly. And there are various numbers of transcontextual dyads that you have with each of them and we call them your first order network of people in your ecosystem, particularly in your mesosystem. Okay? So that's clear. If the people are supplemental links for you, and you put those people together conceptually, then they create a first order network. Why would we do that? Because we want to build the basis for another concept, which is the second order network, and we'll get to them in a minute. Okay. This isn't quite as complicated as organic chemistry, so bear with me. You're doing fine. The real test is whether I'm doing fine. And if I can keep all this stuff straight 2 years in a row, I get the Bronfenbrenner Award. Okay, primary link and supplemental link are both direct linkages. They are people who connect settings in the mesosystem. If we have direct links, can we also have indirect links? Sure we can. We can have indirect linkages between settings. And the indirect links are the sort of thing that we created here, thinking about the parent's work. The setting that the parent goes into is indirectly linked to the child and the child's mesosystem. Not part of the mesosystem, but the setting is indirectly linked by the parent who does participate in both settings. Now, let's go back to the notion of this group of supplemental links in different supplemental links among the settings in this more complex mesosystem. Primary link among all. Some are directly linked by supplemental or transcontextual dyads. And some are indirectly linked to other settings by the fact that some of these people who were supplemental links within the mesosystem, they also have lives, and they go into other settings, and those settings get connected to your mesosystem because these people who are supplemental links go into those settings. So your mesosystem then gets indirectly linked to all kinds of other settings in your exosystem. But the linkage is indirect. Somebody you know goes there. Somebody who participates in a particular setting with you goes there. If in that setting the parent has a coworker in that setting and they have a relationship and they talk, then the parent is likely to talk to the coworker about you. And your friends, when they go off to settings that you don't go into, you share five with a couple of these people, they go off to number 11, I just made that up, which is a place where they work, but you never go. They may talk about you, and they know Fred, who's the manager there. So Fred happens to tell your friends that he needs somebody else to work there. Somebody who's really reliable and really smart. And so your friends who work there tell Fred that you would be a good candidate. On their recommendation, Fred tells them, okay, tell her to call me. You call Fred, but it's not a cold call looking for a job. Your ecosystem has been activated in this exosystem setting by the indirect links that you have to it, so Fred knows about you and is waiting for your call and says, when can you start? I'll pay you $15 an hour. These are good friends, right? And you like Fred immediately because he's going to pay you well. So you are indirectly linked through these indirect links, intermediate links, to Fred and that work setting. And then when you go to work, that setting gets directly linked and becomes part of your mesosystem because you're now there. But your entry into it was smooth, greased, wired, however you want to put it, by the indirect linkage, by the knowledge that your friends had about you and connected with Fred's need for somebody to work with you. The settings are connected by the fact that you're both there, even though you're doing something different. Yeah. And that's the way many of us gain settings in our mesosystem. We have an indirect link to the setting through somebody else, and then we either go with them or we get invited into that setting. Some of you have roommates that you've gone home with. You'd never been there before you became roommates, but you had good meals prepared by your roommate's mom? Yeah, some of you have. You really like that, right? Sure you have. And if you go there often enough, it becomes part of your mesosystem, but your entree into it was through the indirect linkage that you had. This is how an ecosystem expands. It sort of grows like a virus or something. I don't know what the analogy is, but the people that you're working with or living with or connected with directly connect you to settings indirectly, and those settings then may become settings that you participate in directly. And the more connections you have, and the more positive and supportive those intermediate links are, the richer the set of opportunities that you're going to have for engaging in relationships and activities, and that's going to be good for your development. If you're an isolated person with few links to other settings, then you don't have a lot of opportunities to engage in roles and relations and activities that might be developmentally helpful. Right. Your ecosystem includes settings that are indirectly linked. Right. But your mesosystem settings may be indirectly linked to your exosystem settings. And there really should be. But that doesn't make it part of your mesosystem. Now, there are other ways that settings... I need to not have you take that answer too far. Because your mesosystem settings may be indirectly linked. Okay. So not all... The fact that something is indirectly linked or has intermediate links doesn't mean that it's not in your mesosystem. But in addition to the primary link and the supplemental links, you may have several people who go back and forth with you. Those are the direct, but you also may have the indirect link that person D is in one of these settings and maybe in two of them and knows person E, and that indirect link connects the settings in your mesosystem even more complexly. So any two settings can be connected directly by people, or they can be connected by the intermediate indirect links. Let me bring that down where we can get at it. The coworker. Okay? The coworker never goes into your home. You play hockey. The hockey rink is in your mesosystem because you are there. Home is in your mesosystem because you are there. So they are directly linked. You are indirectly linked to the exosystem by your parent and the coworker is your coach. So there is an indirect link for you between these two settings, is the coworker is there. You have the coworker in, but you're not here. Your parent is here. The coach coworker creates an indirect link between the hockey rink and parents' work. I'm sorry. You have one that is created by the parent who participates in these two. You have another between the hockey and your parents' work setting. And that's created by the coworker who has another role in yours. Okay. So what you're trying to do as you describe the settings is always start with directly linked, primary linked settings, the ones that you participate in, but then see how far out you can go. And if you want to just play, you'll find real examples. I'm just making these up. You'll find real examples as you try to draw out your own ecosystem. I got school here. You go to school. That's directly linked. School and the hockey rink are linked by other kids who are on your hockey team. Coach's home. One coach. Coach's home. Coach has a son. Kid doesn't play hockey but goes to school with you. You have an indirect link to the coach's home through the coach's son, with whom you participate in school. What you do when you start adding up all these indirect links, or what Brontemer called intermediate links, the ones that are not connecting two settings directly, but connecting you through a third setting, or through another person, what you're doing is building up what we call the small world. Right? You're creating what Bronfenbrenner calls a second order network. It's not the people who are directly involved in the settings with you, but all the people that they know in the settings that you don't go into. But they have some kind of connection to you because of participation in a setting that somebody you know participates in. And you've heard the estimates that if you take this second order network and extend it you only have to go through 6 intermediate links to connect you to every person in the world. Right, you've heard that. Everybody is connected through their connections, intermediate. And so you've got your friends, and then you've got everybody they know. And then the next link is everybody those people know. You can see that this expands exponentially very, very quickly. And the estimates are that you are connected through no more than 6 links to every person in the world. It's not possible to test that, but if you start just thinking about your Christmas card list, and that this is a way to do it. I hadn't thought about doing this research. Patent this. Yeah. Your Christmas card list, and then get the Christmas card lists of everybody on your Christmas card list, and then get the Christmas card lists of all of those people, and then get the birthday lists of all those people. And actually, there have been some estimates done using email, which you can actually do fairly easily. And it looks like it may be 7 steps, but you got enough people involved that theoretically that's the case. And it really is a very small world. Why couldn't one?
Yeah.
Well, because the next person, and you don't know anybody who knows everybody. So you've got to go through everybody that person knows, and then everybody that person knows those people. So you're extending it out, and eventually it's going to circle back on itself, but eventually the argument goes that if you go out through 6 links, you'll connect everybody in the world. There may be some, you know, somebody who lives in a cave and pick a country that has caves. I just blocked on them. Pick a country that has. There may be somebody there who isn't connected through 6 or even 8 or 10, but yeah. It's an interesting hypothesis. This is what Rontgenbrenner is beginning to set up. And the size and the richness of your second order network, all the people that you are connected to, is a feature of your ecosystem. Some of us are not very well connected. Others of us have lots of connections to lots of different settings. And Rontgenbrenner's hypothesis is that the more settings you are indirectly connected to, the more opportunities you have. Okay. So it's that small world game that lets you go to a new city and have a list of contacts in your pocket. Because this is a graduation game. You'll do this senior year. I'm going to Boulder, Colorado. I'm going to Boulder. You tell a professor who says, what are you going to do after graduation? You say, I'm going to Boulder. He says, oh, I've got a friend in Boulder. He gives you the number. Take it. Take that number. Take that name. And your roommate will say, oh, I got a cousin in Boulder. Those are all indirectly linked people who are in settings that you've never been in. But one or more of those settings you want to become an active participant in. You want a job. Or you want a place to sleep. You want friends. And when you go off to Boulder for the first time with a list of phone numbers, people you can call and say, hi, I just got in town. I'm a graduate of UVM, and Professor so-and-so told me to give you a call. And the person at the other end says, oh, great, how's Charlie doing? Now, he was my favorite professor, too. Did you like his class? Where are you staying? Let's have dinner. And then you do the network, because this person whom you've just met because of the linked to Charlie, the professor, knows people and places where you might get a job. and connects you to other people that you can call. So you start chasing down those links. If you have that kind of indirect network, that second order network, and it's rich, you can go any place in the world and get a job. If you don't have those phone numbers, if you don't have a second order network, then you're on your own. You're on your own. You've all been following the adventures of my wife who was in New Zealand. How did she get a place in New Zealand? By berry picking at her daughter's house and meeting her daughter's roommate's father. And we were berry picking while they were playing volleyball. And during a break in the volleyball game, I said to Matt's father, "So, do you live here?" "Well, I give part of the year, but the rest of the year we live in New Zealand. My wife manages a retreat center in New Zealand." So they live at the retreat center in New Zealand part of the year. My wife, trying to figure out how to get to New Zealand, emailed his wife, got an invitation to go to New Zealand. At Thanksgiving dinner with my wife's daughter's boyfriend's brothers, she mentioned she was going to New Zealand. One of the brothers' girlfriends from Ithaca said, "Oh, I just had people visiting from New Zealand in Ithaca, and I think they're involved in early childhood some way. I'll give you their email." Oh, turns out Tony is the principal of 5 preschools in Wellington and would absolutely love to have Lori come and do workshops for her teachers and with her children. So on the basis of indirect linkages, you know, about 3 down the road, she ends up with a whole itinerary and new friends and activities and a lot of that she learned in New Zealand. If she had gone to New Zealand without those, she'd have spent a lot of money and wouldn't have known where to go. Every place she went, she had a connection. The first 2 nights were spent with a woman who used to teach here, who's there. Who says, "Oh, no, okay. I'll have dinner with you the first couple of nights and introduce you." Okay. So that kind of thing allows you to make connections, to not have to be on your own, and people who have rich connections have more opportunities and more developmentally facilitating experiences than people who have few. Simple hypothesis. It's based on those indirect linkages that connect your settings to other settings. Okay. Settings can also be linked by communication. When you're trying to make a connection, most of you got a lot of intersetting communication from UVM when you were considering coming here. Right? Your mailbox was full. You got emails. You probably got cold calls from faculty saying, "Oh, are you interested in UVM?" Right? There was a lot of attempt to provide you information about UVM, and that connected UVM to your home. At that time, UVM may not have been a mesosystem setting for you, but the intersetting communication linked your home to UVM, and you're here, so UVM became a mesosystem setting for you. And we still try to communicate with your home. So your parents get the quarterly magazine, they get newsletters for UVM parents, they get requests to donate money, of course, right? And your home and UVM are also connected by your cell phone. Right? Some of you call home 3, 4, 6 times a day. Right, you email twice a day, right? Home and UVM are very richly connected for some of you. That's intersetting communication. Sometimes settings are connected only by intersetting knowledge. that it can be supplemental. But for example, if you have a parent who went to UVM, the settings are connected not only by you, not only by your communication, but also by the knowledge. The intersetting knowledge becomes more important when something is not part of your mesosystem, when a setting is not part of your mesosystem, but you're in the process of making it so, making it a setting. For example, going back to my wife as an example, going to the retreat center in New Zealand, she had the inner setting knowledge. She had had inner setting communication, and immediately I looked them up. I looked up their website. So she had visual images from their website in her head when she got there. She had a map of the grounds. She knew what she was doing. She had talked to the people who were there. She hadn't been there yet. It wasn't a mesosystem setting until she got there. But the fact that she had talked to people who were there, we had looked on the website, she had emailed with people there about what she would be expected to do working there, that intersetting knowledge that was created and the knowledge she gave them about herself created two-way knowledge that was shared and made her transition into that setting easier because it was familiar. If you have a parent who went to UVM, you can tell your stories about what's going on or what's changing or what you're experiencing at home, and the parent understands better, the connection is better than it would be if the parent had never been on campus. The person doesn't know. This is one of the reasons why it's more difficult for people who are coming to college for the first time, first generation. If your parents didn't go to college, it's sometimes difficult to communicate with them about what's going on because they don't have the knowledge of the setting. They've not experienced college. So some of us who go to college as the first generation of our family to do that don't get as much support. We don't get as much empathy as other parents, as other students do sometimes because our parents don't understand what we're going through. It's foreign to them, so they can't tell you. They can't give you advice because the intersetting knowledge is weak. Okay, none of these linkages are mutually exclusive. You can have all kinds of links. So when you're doing the exercise, you knew I'd get there eventually. When you get to the exercise and are choosing three settings, you think about all of the ways that any two settings are linked together. What are all of the links that you can think of? Is there knowledge? Is there communication? Is there a supplemental link or two or three, transcontextual dyad? Or are the settings only linked by you and nobody in setting A knows anything about setting B? You're the only one. That's true often. You work someplace where nobody knows anything about UVM. Now, let's look at the hypotheses connected to this notion of mesosystem. I've mentioned a couple of them generally about the richer the links, the more links you have and the more positive they are, the more supportive they are, the better your development's going to be. So 27 says that it helps if when you go into a new setting, you don't do that alone. Particularly if you're a child. Think about being dropped off at kindergarten out at the curb. And you get to go into kindergarten with nobody you know. Parent doesn't come in with you. I actually know of a school that in fact insists the parents not come into the school building on the first day of school for kindergartners. I think that's child abuse, but we won't tell them. And it's certainly contrary to Bronfenbrenner's hypothesis, which says that it's easier to go into a setting that's new to you if you go in with somebody who's already been there. In other words, you have an indirect link to that setting, and you make yourself part of a transcontextual dyad, directly linking the two settings. So if you go in with people that you know, I'm sorry, I may have confused you a little bit because I didn't read to the bottom. This particular hypothesis refers to going in with people you've already engaged in joint activities with. Person doesn't necessarily have to have already been in the setting. My confusion. My bad. I'm sorry. Okay. This particular hypothesis says going into it, for example, with your parent as you go into kindergarten might make the entry into kindergarten easier, even if your parent has never been in the room. Number 28 says that the developmental potential of the settings is greater if the role demands among the settings are compatible. So you have this mesosystem and the settings are related, and the question for Bronfenbrenner is, does your mesosystem, do the linkages and the communication, the processes, relations between those settings, do they support your development or not? Do they promote your development a lot or not? And Bronfenbrenner says, it's going to support your development more if the role demands, the role expectations in those different settings are compatible with each other. And if the roles that you and activities that you engage encourage the development of mutual trust, positive orientation, goal consensus between the settings, and now you can begin to recall the notion of a developmental dyad and what kinds of activities are supportive of development and what kinds of relations are supportive of development. He's folding those things now into these hypotheses to say that if we're going to increase the positive affect, we're going to have positive expectations, we're going to engage in activities, we're going to encourage the settings to agree with each other, and we're going to give the developing person more power, particularly in the communication and in the relations between the settings, then this mesosystem is going to be supportive of development. Development is enhanced, says 29, as a direct function of the number of structurally different settings. You get to go into a lot of different settings and participate there where they're structurally different. You have all kinds of activities open to you because you're in different kinds of settings. And are you participating in a variety of joint activities? And are you creating primary dyads in those different settings? And particularly, does your mesosystem let you engage in activities with people who are more experienced, who are more developed or more mature? And so these are questions to ask about the different settings that a person participates in. How many of them are there? Do they agree with each other? Do they have positive orientation toward each other? Does the hockey coach encourage you to study well and do well in school? Or does the hockey coach say, hockey is all that matters? Right? Your grades don't matter. Don't bother about class. Don't distract yourself from being the strongest, best hockey player in the world. That's an incompatible role expectation. Does everybody say, yeah, okay, we can get you good hockey and good grades at the same time? Ron von Brenner's a big fan of cultural difference. It helps, he says, if you participate in settings that have different cultures represented in them. Ethnicity, social class, religion, age group, or other background factors. And what he means by this is that if your settings allow you to experience a more diverse world, you're going to develop better skills at dealing with the diversity that exists in the world. And you will have a more valid view of the world that you live in if you recognize its complexity. You will understand any culture better if you understand how it's different from some other culture. And you can only understand that if you've participated in settings that represent two cultures, so that you can contrast them. If you never get outside your own ethnic, social class, cultural group, you can fully believe that nothing else exists in the world. But if you get into another cultural setting, a setting that incorporates the characteristics of another culture, then you get to question your own. What's good? What's bad? How's this different? Oh, these people are really nice and they happen to be of a different religion than I am. Huh, that's interesting. You have a more valid view of the world as it really exists. The more transcontextual dyads you experience over time, the more likely it is that going into a new setting will give you an opportunity to develop. Your capacity as a person to profit from a new experience is increased by having a variety of experiences in the past, particularly with transcontextual dyads involved, because if there's a transcontextual dyad linking two settings, you're more likely to talk about your experience. You're more likely to talk about the experience with somebody you share the experience with. And if you talk about an experience, you make more sense of it. The value of language. It helps if you are encouraged to go into new settings and to do that with people that you know. Think about a cultural background and think about a family. It doesn't have to be as broad as a cultural background. Think about a family that encourages you to bring your friends with you on vacation, who incorporate your friends, if you're a child, into the family activities. That's encouraging transcontextual dyads. And that connects back to the earlier one. It creates more transcontextual dyadic experiences for you, so you're more able to take advantage of the next opportunity. Okay. So, generally, transcontextual dyads are good. Oh boy. I think this one's self-evident. Do the transcontextual dyads that you're involved in support your involvement in the next setting? And you can wrestle with those. And what should you pay attention to with exercise 3? Pick 3 important settings in your mesosystem. Describe the links between each pair of settings. try to apply the hypotheses that are listed there and do that with enough explanation so we have some basis for understanding that you understand the hypothesis. How do you know if you're doing it right? You should have three specific settings. Not activities, settings. Not your social life, not your family, settings. Because the mesosystem is the relationships among the settings. That means if you have three settings, there are three pairs. Each pair is linked in multiple ways. Describe how they're linked. We'll take the first two settings, talk about all the ways they're linked. Take the second pair. How are they linked? As many ways as you can think of. Then, go through each of the hypotheses and see if it's represented by the relations among any of the settings in any of these pairs. This is complex. This is a challenge. And we're looking forward to reading it. We have most of the second exercises right here. And you may pick them up now, or if you don't have time, you can pick them up in the office later. If you did part B on number 2, yours may not be graded yet. So if you don't find yours here and you did the microsystem part, it will be available tomorrow afternoon.
I don't understand the process 28.
Oh, I just don't know if you had any books right now, or do I go to your office?
You'll have to go to the office. I didn't bring any.
Learning, right?
Yeah, okay. C-150.
All right, thank you.
I just want to say that A through L is on this table and M through Z is on that table. We'll figure it out.
A through L.
Oh my God, it's so loud. A through L is on this first table and M through Z is on the second table. And any exercise ones that haven't been picked up are on that far desk over there.
Okay. So A through L is closest to us, M through Z farther away, and exercise one is way over there.
Just to understand, I guess, completely, each of the components of this hypothesis. So, I'm picking three, I've already picked my three settings.
Okay, good.
Home, one of class, I haven't decided yet, and my work, the YMCA. And I'm not exactly sure.